In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So we have today the parable of the barns. A person, we are told, possesses great wealth through an agricultural business. And once again, their land brought forth so many crops, they decide to tear down their inadequately small barns and build larger ones. And he's doing this, Jesus says, in order to benefit nobody but himself. It's so I can spend the rest of my born days eating and drinking and in merriment, we hear. What this person doesn't know is that this is his last day on earth. God says to him, "My dear fool, tonight your soul, your life is required of you, literally demanded back from you. And now whose stuff is all this going to be?" Jesus says, this is what happens when you fill your barns with stuff for yourself instead of being rich toward God, rich toward your source of life. Now, rich toward God here would mean using your gifts for the benefit of all, including yourself. I mean, you're not going to be left out. It's not as if God loves everyone but you. It does mean it's in your true nature to be rich toward your neighbor in the same way that God is rich toward you. And the surface meaning of this parable is pretty clear. Our material gifts are meant to be shared, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, the cold. Even our time can be shared with the sick or with the lonely, or something as simple as writing a real letter. And by the way, Advent is a great season to reinvigorate that commitment in ourselves. And now, like all of the Savior's parables, there are many layers of meaning in addition to the surface layer. And this parable of the barns is no exception. One of the deeper layers of meaning sees the parable as representing our internal being. The barns are a person's own heart, and we choose what to store in them. We have a say in what we store in our hearts. Now, the poor sap in our story packed his barns with literally stuff from the earth. That's what it means, stuff from the earth. My crops, my goods. He's filling his heart with his own broken stuff, fear and judgments and anger and pain and selfishness and self-loathing. And that's why at the end, Jesus says he should have been rich toward God. He should have stored in his barns. He should have stored in his heart the things of God, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The human heart is designed to be filled with love and light. But if our hearts are filled with crud, there's that much less room for glory, for the glory for which your heart was designed. Now, St. Theophylact says something really interesting about a line in this parable. When God says to this person, "Tonight your soul is required of you," and it's literally your soul is demanded back, Theophylact says, God cannot demand the soul of a holy person. God cannot demand the soul of a holy person, only an unhealed person. And then he goes on to say, God can't demand the soul of a holy person because a holy person has already offered their soul back to God. God is already in possession of it. They've already placed their soul in God's hands. If the barns of your heart are filled with the goodness and love of God, your soul is already God's, and there's nothing to demand. I'm going to tell you a story about a man named Philip Henson. Philip grew up in St. Louis, and he tells the story of his younger days in college. He got into the party scene. developed a drug habit. And to furnish this habit, he turned to petty crime, stole from friends, stole from family. As his usage increased, so did his desperation for money. For Philip, it came to a head when he knocked a woman over at an ATM while stealing her purse. Turns out she was badly injured, not to mention terrified. Philip was never caught, but that was his wake-up call. He did turn his life around. And he managed to drop his drug habit, finish and graduate college, and move to a new city to begin his career. Eventually, he committed his life to God and became a preacher, and the good kind, a very beloved kind, the kind-hearted preacher, which is all well and good. Amazing, even, when you consider where he started. But Philip had a secret. He had never told anyone the things he had done and gotten away with. Guilt and shame ate him up inside. And the longer it went on, the harder it became to come clean. He'd stored this guilt, this shame in the barns of his heart, and it fermented there for years. Now, at a certain point in his life, in his mid-40s, Philip developed ALS, a horrible, slowly fatal nervous system disease. Of course, Philip didn't want to die, and as the disease slowly progressed, he became angrier and angrier at God. And now his heart was stuffed with not only this fermenting guilt and shame that he had concealed, but now it's got to make room for growing anger. And it's like he had to build bigger internal barns to store all that negativity. And finally, Philip couldn't stand it anymore, and during a session with his spiritual director, it all came flooding out. And it took some time. It took many, many months, but eventually his barns were emptied of his own personal crud, and there was finally room for the love and the light of God. And part of that new feeling of light prompted Philip to share his story and to make amends where possible. And the biggest thing Philip noticed that he tells was that as his disease progressed, he no longer felt God demanding his soul because he had now freely given it. And when Philip's time came, he was ready. He met God as a friend, as his eternal caregiver and comforter. And I think for us, if we want to really engage with this parable on a deeper level, take some quiet time to look into your heart and honestly see what it is you're storing in there, what it is might be fermenting over the course of months or years. And to the extent that we can release fear and judginess and pain and anger and selfishness and self-loathing, not to mention guilt and shame, well, to that extent, we have far more room for the things of God. Love and joy, peace and kindness, really the stuff of authentic life itself, the essence of what we were truly created for. Amen.